Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Samach Hei. I am dictating this shiur right now, Motzei, Simchas Torah, and all of us are distraught about the events that happened in Shmini Atzeretz and Eretz Yisrael. Hashem should be Merachim. I dictate this shiur with tears in my eyes, tremendous sadness, and the hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Merachim, all of those that are injured, all of those that are Nebuch in captivity, and all of those that Nebuch have suffered losses. Hashem should protect all of Klal Yisrael, should protect our Tzahal forces, that there should be no more injuries and no more losses, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us a quick and swift victory over these terrorist Rishoyim. Chazal tell us that Torah is the best tavlin. Torah is the universal antidote. Be'ezus Hashem, we dedicate our learning to all of those nevuch, new korbanos that have given up their lives, al kiddush Hashem, and in protecting and saving Klal Yisrael. Hashem yimkom dama. We begin about 10 lines down on Samach Hei Amud Aleph. We begin with the new Mishnah. Omer le'isha, if a man says to a woman, kidashtich, I married you. V'hiyo marish, she says, nothing doing. Lo kidashtani, you did not marry me. So who asur bikrovo sat? So he has essentially accepted upon himself that this is his wife. So we use this lashon of shavya anavshe chaticha de isura, that this person has accepted upon himself a iser. In other words, he is forbidden now to marry all of his wife's relatives. He says that this woman is wife, even though she denies it. But to him, it is hodah that this is his wife. So therefore, he's also to marry any of the relatives that it's also to marry from your wife's family. So he can't marry his wife's mother, he can't marry his wife's daughter, etc., etc. So he is asur bikrovo seha, the man is asur with her relatives. However, the Hebrew terrorist bikrov up, she disagrees. She says, I have nothing to do with you. I'm not your wife. And therefore, she's still permitted to go marry all the relatives that a woman normally would be prohibited from marrying from her husband's side of the family. So she could marry his father, she could marry his son, she could marry his brother, because she has no relationship with him, and there is no evidence, obviously, that he has a relationship with her. He has no proof that he married her. So who also bekrovoseh, he's accepted upon himself that she is his wife, so therefore he's also in all of the relatives that are forbidden to a person's from his wife, and he muteris bekrovah, but she is permitted to go and marry anybody that is his relative, because she hasn't accepted that he's her husband. If it was the other way around, he omeris, she says, kidashtani, you married me. The who omeris, he says, nothing doing. Lo kidashtich, I never married you. So who matur bikrovoseh? So he then, in that situation, the exact opposite of the first case, he's permitted to marry all of her relatives. He says, I don't know you. I've never married you. And he has sur bikrovoseh. But since she's accepted upon herself that this is her husband, so therefore she's also to all of his relatives, she also has essentially shavya anafshei chaticha disur. She's accepted upon herself that this is her husband, and therefore all of his relatives are forbidden to her, those relatives that are normally forbidden to a woman from her husband. Next case, kidashtich. If he says to her, I married you, the himer is, no, you didn't marry me, lo kidashta elabiti, but you married my daughter. So, who also bekrovos gedola? So, the man who says that this is his wife, the quote, mother, she is his wife, so she's called the gedola over here, so he's forbidden to marry any of her relatives, because this is his wife, according to him. Shavya anavshe chaticha di isura. Whereas Ugdola, she, muteris bikrovov, she's allowed to go and marry any of his relatives. Now, that's any of the relatives that aren't also, because they would be forbidden because of her daughter. She says her daughter married him. So any relatives that would be forbidden to her because of her daughter's marriage, so that she admits, that's shavya anavshe chaticha di isura, that he married her daughter, so those relatives would be forbidden. But relatives that aren't from the daughter, that are only from this man, so she, in fact, Ugdola muteris bikrovov. And vice versa, hu mutu bekrovos ketana, he would be allowed to go and marry any relative of the ketana that's not also to him because of the mother. The ketana, according to him, he's not married to her, and therefore, even though this woman says that you married my daughter, so he disagrees with that, so he's permissible to marry any of the relatives of the daughter, as long as they're not relatives that are also to him because of the mother. And uktana muteris bekrovo, but the daughter, she has nothing to do with anything over here, so she's permitted to go and marry all of his relatives. And in this situation, she's not usher at all because she has nothing to do with any of this. She says, no, I never accepted kedushin from you. I'm not married to you. Next case, kidashti esbitech. The man says, I married your daughter. Each of them, the Gemara will explain what the chiddush is in each of these cases because they all sound very familiar. Kidashti esbitech. The man says, I married your daughter. The he omeris, and The woman says, no, Loki Dashti did not marry my daughter, L-O-C, but she married me. So in this situation, who also was Katana? He is accepted upon himself that he married the daughter. So Shavya Navshi Chaticha Disura with the daughter. So any relatives of the daughter that he'd be forbidden to marry if she was his wife, so he's forbidden to marry them. Who also was Katana? However, he is permitted to marry all the Krovas of the mother that aren't also to him because of the Katana. So in that situation, we'll see in the Mishnah in a moment, but first we have Uktana with Teres B'Krovah, but the Ktana who says, no, I have nothing to do with you, so she's allowed to marry his relatives. But who Mutta B'Krovah's Gedola? He can marry the Krovah's of Gedola because he said, I didn't marry you, I married your daughter, but the Gedola, the mother, so Ugdola Asura B'Krovah, she says, no, you married me, so therefore Shavya Navshi Chetichad Asura, so she's not allowed to marry any of the relatives that we forbidden to her if he was indeed her husband. Now, all of these cases sound very similar one to the other, so the Gemara starts off and just quotes the first part of the Mishnah, Omer L'Isha Kidash Lichluchu. And we basically had all of these cases over here, and the Gemara says Utsricha. Each one of these cases was needed, essentially, to teach us a new Chiddush. Because Diashminon Gabe Didei, if we only had the first case, where the man says, I married you, Kidashtich, and she says, no, Lo Kidashtani, you didn't marry me at all. So I would have said, Mishum de Gavra Lo Ich Patle. A man, if he says, I married a woman, so okay, min hadin, min haTorah, you're allowed to go marry more than one wife, since, of course, Rabbeinu Gerisham, or Hagola, so man isn't allowed to have more than one wife nowadays, albeit amongst the Sfardim, that was never accepted practice. But for a typical Ashkenazim, you certainly can't have more than one wife today at the same time, but during the times of the Gemara, the person could say, okay, I say I married you, big deal, so I'm not forbidden to marry anybody but your relatives. I can marry another wife if I wish to. So Mishum de Begavra, lo ich patle. It's not such a big deal for him to say that I marry this woman. And therefore, umikriyama. So therefore, maybe he is, in fact, not telling us the truth because he's not losing out anything from it. So you might have thought, in fact, that he's still permitted to go and marry her relatives when she denies it. So the answer is no. He's not allowed to go and marry her relatives. Even though umikre amar, even though maybe he's just saying it and it's not really true, but we have to be choshes and no, shavya nafshi chatichad yisura. But I would have said for her, abul'i, in the second case of the Mishnah, where she now claims, listen, I have in fact married you. So she's basically saying, I'm now also to every single man in the world unless you give me a get. So therefore, I would say, listen, this woman is really pretty certain. So therefore, Ema, ilab de kim lo b'dibura, if she wasn't absolutely certain of what she's saying, because now she's also to marry every single man in the world unless this guy gives her a divorce, lo havasama, so she wouldn't be saying it. So therefore, hey, she really believes this guy married her. So maybe, v'litzar ihu b'krovusea. So since she is so absolutely certain that this is her husband, maybe we should say, listen, he can't deny it and say, I'm going to marry your mother, I'm going to marry your daughter. No, maybe he should in fact be also to marry all of her krovos. So the Gemara says, no, kamash v'lam. The chiddush of the second part of the mission is no, that even though she's absolutely hurting herself in this situation, she can't go get married to anybody else in the whole world. So you might have thought that what she's saying is really the truth, and therefore he should be also to all of her krovos. So the bottom line is, no, that's not true. Kamash v'lam, he's still allowed to marry all of the krovos that he would be forbidden to if she really was his wife, because he says, she's not my wife, and therefore he can marry them. The next case in the Mishnah, Kidashtich v'Omer Suchule, so the next case was where the man said, I married you, and she said, no, you married my daughter, etc. So what do we need that case for? Hasul Amali, what's the Chiddush over there? So it says Itzrich, that's also necessary, because you know what I would have said? Salko Daito Chaminoch Midoraisa Hemne Rachbon Eliyah. Since, as we've learned in the previous Shurim, that the father is given the rights of the Torah as BT Nasati. So the Torah believes the father to say that I gave over my daughter to this person. So I would have said, you know what? So just like the Torah gave us the credibility, so to say, to the father, and he is allowed to go and say, I married off my daughter, so maybe we parallel that by saying, midrabanan, the Torah gave credibility to the mother to say that, yes, she married off her daughter, albeit maybe only midrabanan, but maybe midrabanan himnua ledida, and therefore, betistar birata bidibura, and therefore, you might have thought that her daughter, in fact, should be now also to marry all of his relatives, because after all, mom says that she married you off. So therefore, you might have thought that, in fact, there should be a gzera d'rabbanan to say that she can't marry that person's relatives, that we don't make such a gzera. So that's why we need the third case in the Mishnah. Now, what do we need the last case in the Mishnah? Kidashti esbitei uchulei. If the man says that I married your daughter, she says, no, you didn't marry my daughter, you married me. So what chiddush is there in that situation? Hasu lamali, what? Why do we need that fourth case? So the Gemara answers here, that's a parallelism. I did the Taneha, Tanenamiha. You're right. Technically, we didn't need that case. There is no new Chiddush in that case. But since we've already given the other possibilities, so we include this possibility, so to say, for completeness' sake, even though there's no real Chiddush over here. Now they said in the Beis Medrash, Itmar, Rav Amar Kofin, Ushmul Amar Mavakshin. Now, Rav says that we demand that the man give a get to the woman, whereas Shmuel says we only request that the man give a get to the woman. What's the case that we're talking about? Ahai. This machlokas that we have between Rav and Shmuel, which we'll see in a moment, it's not really a machlokas, but what is it going on? Rav says you force the man to give a get to the woman, and Shmuel says, no, we just ask the man to give a get to the woman. So ahai, what exactly, which part of the Mishnah is this talking about? Ilei Maresh, if it's going on the first part of the Mishnah, where the man says he's married to this woman, and the woman denies it, so then, Lav kofin ikah v'lom avakshin ikah. So then, she doesn't need a get. She says, "I'm not married to you. We don't have to ask him to give her a get, and we don't have to force him to give her a get." She says, "I'm not married to you. I don't know you. I don't need a get from you, and I'm allowed to marry all of your relatives if I wish to, because I'm not married to you." So what could possibly Rav tell us that we force him to give her a get, and Shmuel says we ask him to give her a get? She doesn't want a get. She wants to be able to marry all of his relatives. She doesn't need a get. It goes on the next case where the woman says that she's married to the man and the man says, no, I don't know you. So I can understand Mishlomim of action. We can understand what Shul would say. No, be a nice guy. This woman is Shabia Nafshe Chaticha Desura. She says she's a married woman. She can't get married to anybody else in the whole world. No, please give her a get so this way she can go on with her life. She made some sort of a mistake over here, if you're denying it, but at least give her a get, so this way she should go on and get married. So we can understand Mavakshin, please go and give her a get. You're not mechuyev to, but please go and give her a get. L'chai, that makes very good sense. However, El Kofin, we should force this guy? What would Rav be saying? Kofin, we should force this guy to give her a get? Am I? Why? After all, he says, if I give her a get, then I'm now also to marry her father, her son, any of her relatives that I would be also to marry to my ex-wife. But I might want to marry them. Why should I have to be now excluded from marrying those people? Omar, lo nicholi the itzar bikriva. I'm not interested in not being allowed to marry her relatives. I want to keep all my options open. So how could Rav possibly suggest that we force him? Oh, we can understand the Mavakshin, do us a favor, be a nice guy. So we ask him, he says, yeah, okay, listen, I probably don't want to marry your mother anyway. She's 20 years older than me. Okay, so not such a big deal to request him to do so, but to force him to do so? How could we possibly do that? So obviously that can't be the case either. So what are we talking about there? Rav says, kofin, we force him to Shmuel Amar Mavakshin. So Ella Shmaisis Ahadode Itmar. In fact, Rav and Shmuel are not arguing with each other. Their two statements are complementary to each other. How could that be? So Omar Shmuel said, in this situation where he says, I don't know you at all, she says, you married me, and he says, I don't know you at all. So Shmuel says, in that situation, we ask the guy, be a nice guy, give her get, so she can go on with her life and marry somebody else. Because otherwise, Shavia Anavshe Chaticha Desura, she can't go get married to anybody else. So Shmuel's statement, as we said, makes sense. No, what about Rav? I'm a Rav. However, if this guy out of his own initiative goes and gives her a get on his own without being asked to, something's fishy over here. And therefore, once he gives her a get on his own, in that situation, we say, something's going on over here. You possibly are married to her. She's certain that you married her. And you're denying it. And why'd you give her a get? So if you gave her a get, then we also force him to give her the ksuba. So Rav's statement is in parallel with Shmuel. Shmuel says, we request him to give a get. And Rav says, and if the guy gave a get on his own without us requesting him, then that's proof positive that he's actually married to her. And then we force him to go give the ksuba. So Rav and Shmuel aren't arguing with each other. They're talking about different scenarios. And I'll show you that this is right, because Itno Nami was like what I said in the Beis Medrash, Omer Rav Acha Bar Ad Omer Rav. Rav Acha Bar Ad, the same name of Rav. Rav is the Baal Memor over here. Others say it was Omer Rav Acha Bar Ad Omer Rav Hamnuna Omer Rav, that Rav Hamnuna was added in this sequence of statements. Kofin Umivakshin, that Rav was the one who said, Kofin Umivakshin. How could that possibly be? Tarte, how do you request and force? So the answer is, exactly like we just said, Hoki Komar, that Rav agrees with Shmuel, that if this man denies having married him, and the woman says, you married me, so mivakshim mentally can get. We ask the guy, be a nice guy, go and give her a get so she can get on with the life, because otherwise she can't get married to anybody else. But if he gave the get on his own, so then, wait a second, something's fishy over here. Mistama, she's really telling us the truth. And kofin also li ten ksuba. Then Rav said, then we forced the man to give her a ksuba, because he voluntarily, on his own initiative, gave her the get. So Mistama, there's some truth to what the woman said. Okay, Amar Yehuda, the Yehuda tells us, HaMekadesh B'Eid Echod Ein Choshishin L'Kidushov, that if a man goes and is Mekadesh a woman in front of one witness, so then that is not Kidushin. As we pointed out previously, this is Halacha L'Maaseh, so we have a whole discussion about this. The Kidushin are necessary over here to be effectuated via Eidim. You can't be a Makadish, a woman, in a vacuum. If a man is Makadish, a woman, and there are no witnesses over there, they're not married. The Kiddushin is effectuated by two valid kosher witnesses. They're not there to corroborate or testify that this marriage occurred. They make the marriage into effect. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda tells us that if you're Makadish in front of one aid, only one witness, that is zero. It is not something that can even be a chashash that this woman is married. And she would not need a get from this person, and she'd go marry somebody else without getting a get. Now, Bohemi Neir Mei Rav Yehuda, the answer of Yehuda, the following Shaila. What about if Shnei Amodim, the man says, yeah, I did give it to her in front of this one witness. And the woman says, yeah, he gave it to me and I accepted it in front of this one witness. My, does that change anything around? So Gemara says, when Rav Yehuda was asked this question, in Vilo, Virafia Bidei, he wasn't sure. Sometimes he said, yeah, maybe, not Virafia Bidei. It was weak in his hands. In other words, he didn't know the correct answer. Maybe if they're both Moda, then the one witness makes a difference. However, Itma, it was stated over in the name of Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, HaMekadish Beit Echot, Ein Choshen L'Kiddushav, V'Afilu Shnei Amodim. So Shmuel said clearly, Rav Nachman quotes Shmuel, saying clearly that even if both the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, potentially over here, agreed that he was Makadish in front of one witness, no, one witness doesn't do anything. That is the Halacha L'maisa, albeit the Gemara is now going to have an extended discussion about this till the rest of the Shia today. More questions, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Eisvei Rava L'Rav Nachman Rava questions the statement that Rav Nachman made in the name of Shmuel, and he questions it from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Omer Isha. The man says to a woman, Kidashtich, V'yomeres lo kidashtani. The first case of the Mishnah, the man says to the woman, I married you. And she says, nothing doing, Charlie. I never married you. So who was Abikrov Osev? V'yimuderes Abikrov Ab. So the man has Shavya Nafshe V'chatichot Yisur, as we said many times already. So he's accepted upon himself that this is his wife. So therefore, he can't marry any of her relatives that he'd be also to marry if she was his wife. Whereas she denies the whole thing. Therefore, she could go marry any of the relatives that would normally be also to her if this, in fact, was her husband. Now, here's the question that is being asked to Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel by Rava. Rava says, what is the scenario over here? E de'ika edim, if there were in fact two witnesses over here, so amai muteris b'krovav. So then, wait a second, he has two witnesses that he married her. So how could she be permitted to go marry his relatives? Ah, you tell me there are no witnesses, v'deleka edim, so amai also b'krovusel. So then, even if he says he married her, but if there were no witnesses, he's not claiming any witnesses, so then why would it be us? Everybody agrees it's not a valid marriage. So the Gemara says, Elo, mustn't it be, Rava says, Elo la b'eid echad, and therefore you see that with an eid echad, we are choshesh kasha new Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel. If both of them admit to it, then we should be choshesh, because here he's at least admitting that he married her, and therefore he has to be choshesh. So Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says, no. Hagbai Iskin, you know, we're talking about in our Mishnah, Kigon the Amar Law, when the man says to the woman, no, Kidashtich b'nei ploni uploni. I married you in front of two valid kosher witnesses. No, v'holchulem l'dina siyam. They're not here to go and testify on my behalf, but I claim I'm fully married to you on a deraisa level, and therefore, that's why he is usur in her relatives. But she denies the whole thing, and there is no proof, so therefore, she is mutter in his relatives. So therefore, it's not a schlugging up of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Try again. Eisvei. We have the following Mishnah that's going to be a kasha on Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Hamegarish es ishto v'lon imo b'puntaki. We've had this Mishnah a number of times already in the recent Masechtas as well as our Masechta. If a man is megarish his wife, and then they subsequently they stay overnight in the hotel, v'lon imo b'puntaki. Now, b'shama yomrim, ein asuicha emenu get sheni. We don't have to be concerned that they had new kiddushin. He slept with her, and that was the bia was al shem kiddushin because libo gaspa, they're familiar with each other, and he now is remarrying her. Again, he's not a kohen, so he can be machzir grusha, so she hasn't got married to somebody else. So one might have thought that maybe we should be concerned. So Beis Shammai says, no, ein tzricha imenu get sheni, we don't need another get from him. That wasn't, even if there were witnesses that they had relations, as we'll see, we'll discuss this, what if any witnesses there were, ein tzricha imenu get sheni, because we don't say over here that it was l'shem kiddushin. We still don't know. We have to be concerned about this tzricha imenu get sheni. We have to be concerned that, in fact, he was makadisher with Bia, and in fact, therefore, they're now married again, and therefore, if they wish to be divorced, he has to give her another get. Now, what again are the circumstances over here? Hechidami. Idikeidim, if there are, in fact, witnesses that there was Bia over here, so then, Maya Tamaya, the Beis Shammai. So why doesn't Beis Shammai hold that you should be concerned, the Choshesh, that it was the same Kiddushin, and Beis Shammai said, Eino tzricha imenu get sheni, why would that be the case? You should have to be Choshesh, and you should need a get sheni. So it can't be that there are witnesses there. I, the Delek, Eidim, and if you're telling me that there are no witnesses, then what's the Svar of Beis Hillel? My time at Beis Hillel. Why should we be concerned? Just because they stayed in the same hotel. that they should be married. I mustn't it be elolah b'eid echad? So here's the kashan of Nachman and Meshul. Wasn't there one witness over here? And we see that we have to be choshesh for one witness, at least according to the opinion of Beis Hillel, which we, of course, paskin like. So therefore, that's the kashan of Nachman and Meshul. So Rav Nachman Shmuel says back to you, Uvali Taimech, and according to you, Eim Sefer, keep on reading that Mishnah. It says, Umodim, that everybody is Modim, even Beis Hillel is Modim to Beis Shammai, Umodim in this Garishim and Erisin. If they only had the first stage of marriage, and then there was a Garishin. So there's no Libor Gaspa, they don't have a close relationship yet. They had some sort of relationship, obviously, they had the first stage of marriage, but they hadn't lived fully together as man and wife, so therefore, we don't have this likelihood that they're going to have relations if they're suddenly alone together. So in that situation, even Beis Hillel is moda she'ein tzri chaymenu get sheni. Not only, of course, Beis Shammai. They said even the case where they did live together. But here, Beis Hillel says she'ein tzri chaymenu get sheni. You don't need a second get in this situation because mipnei she'ein libo gaspo, because they never slept together before. So there's no reason to suspect that they're going to sleep together now. Now, here's the problem. If you're telling me that one aid is enough, so then if you have one aid that they were closeted alone together, so then what difference does it make whether it was from Erisin or from Nisun? The Beis Shammai should say, you need to get Sheni. So Gemara says, obviously that can't be the answer. So therefore, how does Rav Nachman and Meshul get around this? You know what we're talking about? There are two witnesses that say that they were closeted alone together. They both were in their hotel room together. However, but there's no witnesses. They in fact had relations. So therefore, Beis Shammai Sabre, Beis Shammai holds, and we turn to Samachei Omebeis, Lo, Amrinon, Hein, Hein, Ede Yichud, Hein, Hein, Ede Bia. Beis Shammai says, well, all we have is witnesses that they were alone together. So we can't presume that because they're alone together, that those witnesses of Yichud are in fact also witnesses on the Bia, and therefore you have to be Choshesh. No, we don't hold like that. And therefore you don't have to be Choshesh that there's Kedushin Sheni, and therefore she should need to get Sheni. Or Beis Hillel Sabre, no. I mean, and hein hein edi yichud hein hein edi bia. When we have edi yichud at a wedding, so the chas and kala, if they leave the chuppah, they go into secluded into a room. So those edi yichud there are functioning to say yes, there's now a potential for bia in that room. So we do say, and that's how Beis Hillel says over here. I mean, and hein hein edi yichud hein hein edi bia, and therefore we do have to be choshesh for a get sheni, because maybe there was a new kedushin over here, maybe they did have bia. We do have witnesses that they closeted themselves away together, albeit we don't have proof that they had bia, but we suspect that they had bia because hein hein ein de yichud hein ein de bia, and therefore tzricha hemenu get sheni. Now, umodim vaday bin iskarishim bin erisin, but in the case where there was only erisin, the lo aminon hein ein ein de yichud hein ein ein de bia mibesh ein libo gospel. But in the case where they didn't have prior relations, there only was erisin, so therefore the likelihood of those Eide Yichud, they were just alone together. They were interested in each other's company. Even though he gave her a get, nevertheless, they knew they have things to talk about, whatever it is that they're talking about. So they were closeted alone together. But Lav Dafka, is that going to be that they're Eide Bia as well? So even Beis Hillel is Moda in that situation. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Marsa Mishmei de Rav. Rabbi Yitzchok bar Shmuel, who's the son of Marsa, said in the name of Rav, Hamikadesh be'ed echod enchoshim l'kidusha. He says the exact same thing that we had before, that the Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that if you're Makadesh with just one witness, you don't have to be concerned about it at all. And afilu shteyamot, even if the husband and wife, the potential husband and wife, both admit, yeah, I gave her kedusha, and she accepted it, and she agrees. So with son Achoshes, it's only one aid. As I pointed out, the underlying idea, although there's a lot of talking that we showed him exactly how this works, but the underlying idea is that you need the two witnesses to effectuate the kedusha, not to just witness the kedusha. And therefore, if you only have one witness, it can't effectuate the kedushin. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Hamikadish beid echod, beidina Rabba amre, ein choshin l'kidushav. Rabba bar Rav Huna said that if a person was Makadish with just one witness, so then the great beis din, beidina Rabba, said that we don't have to be choshin l'kidushin. Now, who is this man beidina Rabba? Who is this great beis din? So, this was the beis din of Rav. Alternatively, Vika the Amre, it was Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. The Rabba Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that Hamikadosh Be'edechot Be'edina Rabba Amre Ein Choshesh L'Kiddushav. That in this situation, the great Beis Din said you don't have to be Choshesh for Kiddushin if there's only one witness. And who is this great Beis Din? Because now Rav is the one that said it. Can't be talking about Rav's Beis Din. So Man Be'edina Rabba, who did Rav refer to as the great Beis Din? This was Rabbi reviewed the Nasi's Beis Din. So far we have many opinions that say that if you're Makadosh, even if the potential husband or wife admit to it, but if you only mekadesh in front of one witness, it's not at all something they have to even be choshish for. You don't need to get, and ain choshish in likidushah.
Now the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Achduvoy Barami, Rav Achduvoy Barami asks in the following brisa, Shnaim Shabob Medina Sayam. Two people come from Chutz Laaretz, from Medina Sayam, and they come to a certain city, the Isha Imohem. There's a woman that's coming with them, traveling with them. So you have two men and one woman traveling over here, the Chavil Imohem. And there's some metaltalin, there's some package. A Chavil is literally a package. So there are metaltalin of some value that the three of them have. Now, what does each one say the relationship is over here between these two men, the woman and the package? So the first guy says, Elmer Zu Ishti, this is my wife, this is Abdi, and the other guy is my servant, he's an Eved Kanani, Bizu Chavilasi, and it's my package. So that's what the first guy says. It's my wife, it's my package, and it's my slave. No, the second guy says the same exact thing, except he's the one that's the Baal. Bizelmer, the other guy says, no. This is my wife, Zuishti, Vizu Abdi, and the other guy is my Eved Kanani, Vizu Chavilasi, and it's my package. So the two men have the exact same argument, stating that they're the owner of the package, they're the husband of the wife, and that they're the owner of the other person who's an Eved Kanani to them. So they're exactly opposite arguments. What does the woman say? Bishomeri, she says, neither of them is my husband. Elu Shnei Avodai, both of them are my Avodim. I'm the owner over here of these two Eved Kananim, Vachavilu Shli, and it's my package. So what do we do in this situation? So, tzricha shnei gittin. So, she needs a get from each of them if she wants to get married to somebody else. Now, we'll explain why there's the kasha over here in a moment. But right now, the brisa says she needs a get from both of them. Each of these two men, who's claiming to be her husband, she needs a get from both of them. But she's now going to be entitled to collect her ksuba because one of them is her husband, so Vigovik Subasim and a Chavila, whoever owns the package. Whether she owns the package, then she's certainly entitled to the Ksuba, but whether she doesn't own the package, it belongs to either husband number one or potential husband number two, so then she is entitled to at least get her Ksuba from that. Now, what exactly is this case in this Brisa? So Rav Achduvoy Barami explains as follows. Hechi Dami, what are we talking about? E the Is Le Sahade Lahai. The Is Le Sahade Lahai. Man number one says, here are my two witnesses to say that I marry this woman, this is my Eved Kanani, the other guy, and this is my package. And the other guy, obviously, Sadil, hi, he has the same exact witnesses. So now you have Edim Hamachshishim Zezeh, two sets of Edim that go and contradict each other. So in this situation, Mi Matzi Amra, Elu Shnei Avadei V'Chavila Shali, how could this woman say, against these two witnesses, that neither of them is my husband, they're both my Eved Kanani? Now, what these two witnesses are doing, the two sets of witnesses, they're basically both agreeing that the package, the chavila, doesn't belong to this woman. Because each of them is saying, essentially, it doesn't belong to you. While the first set of witnesses say it belongs to guy number one, and the second set of witnesses say it belongs to guy number two, both of them are essentially saying, and it doesn't belong to you, woman. Therefore, how could the brisa tell us, and she says that it belongs to me? It would have no standing because there are two witnesses, actually two sets of two witnesses, that contradict her claim. So in the setting of witnesses against her claim that the chavila belongs to her, that can't be possible. So that can't be the case that the two witnesses. So therefore, Rav Achduvoy Barami tells us, Ella, we're dealing here, la bi'edechot. Each of the two guys has one witness. And therefore, if each of them has one witness, so therefore, we are choshesh with a single witness that there is kedushin over here. So, as Rashi points out, elo la b'eid echad lekol echad. Each of them has one witness. Ushma mina dafilu eina mode sricha get. Even though she doesn't agree to it, we are choshesh with kedushin of one witness because she said that she requires a get from each of them. So you see that one witness is enough to make us concerned. More questions. It says, really, Batisbra? Do you think that's true? But these two witnesses contradict each other. And when you have two witnesses contradicting each other, as Rashi says, the other one has a witness that contradicts him. So, we don't believe single witnesses that contradict each other. All one witness can do is require a shvua normally. You can't force the money to be transferred over. And therefore, in this situation, it can't be talking about one witness. So then what is the case talking about? Elo lemishrei li'alma. This is to go and say that this woman is actually permitted to go and marry anybody she wants. The kuli alma lo pligi d'shari. In fact, she can go and marry anybody she wants because each of them only has one witness and we're not at all concerned. En chayshinon le'ed echad. So the fact that there's one witness saying that guy number one married her, irrelevant. We don't count that. The fact that there's another witness saying the guy number two married her, we don't count that. So this woman technically doesn't need any gittin at all. She can get married to somebody, anybody she wants in the world. She doesn't need a get from them. But here, but the money, Rashi points out that in this situation, where both of them give her a get, then she can collect her ksuba. But the remainder of the money in the chavila, she claims it's all hers, each of them claims it's all theirs, that will be munach atshuvo elio, and will tell us who the money belongs to. So if she doesn't get a get from each of them, then she can't go collect her ksuba. Each of them has a claim on it. There's no way to reconcile whose claim is who. Guy number one says it's all mine. Guy number two says it's all mine. The lady says it's all mine. So in this situation, we would leave the whole thing munach atshuvo elio, and will tell us who it belongs to. But if she gets a get from each of them, so then certainly at least she's entitled to go collect her ksuba. And this goes in accord with Rav Meir. Rav Meir, the Omar, metaltele mishtabde l'ksuba. Rav Meir holds that metaltelin are able to be collected for from the ksuba. Now that is the way we actually paskin today, albeit in the times of the Gemara, before the times of the Gonim, the paskin that you're not allowed to go collect metaltele for the ksuba. You only collect karka from the ksuba. However, subsequently, Chazal changed it in the times of the Gaonim to say that no, you can collect metaltli from the ksuba, and that happens to be in accord with the opinion of Rav Meir, which wasn't accepted during the times of the Tanaim, but subsequently became the din midrabbanan. Okay, how do we paskin over here? Can a single witness, in fact, be a concern for kiddushin or not? My havi alav. Gemara questions this and says, Rav Kahan amar ein choshin lekiddushiv. Like we said, all the other opinions that we brought down were not choshish for kiddushin of an eid echad. However, Rav Papa is the lone opinion that says amar choshishin lekiddushav. Rav Papa says that we do have to be concerned when there's one witness that maybe there is kiddushin over here. Now, Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi questions Rav Kahana. My datech, why do you say ein choshin lekiddushin? Are you telling me because the Alphys Dover Mimamot that you're learning out the Xerishava of Dover? It says in regards to Erva, Kimotza by Erva's Dover. And it says in regards to financial matters, Apishne Edim, Yokum Dover. So we have the famous Xerishava of Dover. So therefore, if you're telling me that's how we learn this out, so Imalahalan Hodas Baldin Kimea Edim Dummy. So wait a second. Then if a person admits, I owe you money. So even though the 180 will say, no, you don't owe him money, you paid him back. No, he admitted, Hodas Baldin is better than Kimeya Edim Dami. So to over here, Afkan, since both the husband and the wife agree that they are married, so Im Kain, Afkan, Hodas Baldin, Kimeya Edim Dami. So then they should be married. So why are we saying over here that they're not married, even if there are no witnesses at all? So Amalei, so Rav Kahana says back, Hotsam lo kochayev liachrine. In the case of financial matters, if Reuven says, listen, I owe Shimon 100 bucks, and 100 witnesses say, no, you don't. So who's he hurting? He has to pay Shimon 100 bucks. He says, I owe it to him. So hodas baldin kimei eidim dam, because nobody else is being hurt. He's the only one being hurt. So therefore, in that situation, we say, hodas baldin kimei eidim dam. But over here, ha-ha, when Reuven says, I married Leah, and Leah says, yes, Reuven married me, hocho kochayev liachrine. They are causing a lot of other people now to be out. How does that? So Rashi explains, shekrovo seho nesrubo. Her relatives no longer can marry him. So the krovov nesrubo, and his relatives can't marry her. So let's say he had a brother. By him saying, I'm married to this girl, so his brother can never marry that girl. And vice versa, she's married to him, so her sister can't marry him unless she dies. So therefore, they are hurting other people. That's why they're not believed. So Rav Kahana says, by Eid Echad, we're not choshesh by Kiddushin. Okay. Marzutra, the Rav Ado Saba, Bnei, the Rav Mori, Bar Isser. Marzutra and Rav Ado Saba, Rashi says, they are brothers who are the sons of Rav Mori, Bar Isser. So these two brothers, Marzutra and Rav Ado Saba, inherited their father, and Palig Nichsayu Bahade Adade, and they're good, loving brothers, and they just divided up the estate between themselves when their father Nebuch passed away. Now, also, the Rav Ashi, they went to Rav Ashi, and they asked him, Amulei, they said to Rav Ashi, the Pasuk says, Al Pishnei Eidim Yokum Dovor, so Amar Rachmana, the Torah tells us that, Di'i Boyle Mahader Lomotzi Hadribei, Bahu, is the reasoning there in order to make sure that there are, if there are scoundrels or bad people that are trying to lie over here, so that's why you do it in front of witnesses, to make sure that you can't retract, because we have witnesses over there and you can't deny something. But we love each other, we're good brothers, and there's no concern that anybody's going to fight this chalukah. I and he together, we both made this chalukah. Marzutra and Rav Adisaba said, we love each other, we're brothers, so we don't need witnesses. Or do we say no? No, that we need the witnesses to effectuate the Yerusha. So therefore, even though we're in agreement and we split it voluntarily, maybe halachically, it's still half his and half mine. We own it jointly together, and not that I own this half now, 100% of this half, and he owns 100% of that half. No, maybe we each own 50% of the whole thing, because you need the Edom to effectuate it. That's the question that they asked to Rav Ashi. And Amalur Rav Ashi said back to them, Lo ivre sahade el shakare. The whole purpose of witnesses in financial matters is to prevent shakranim, to prevent liars from lying. And therefore, if you two are willing to dissolve the estate and do it lovingly and willingly, and I'll take this half, you take that half, and you're not concerned about retracting by non-lohadre, and therefore you can do this without having the witnesses. You don't need to effectuate the chalukah with witnesses. It's only when you're worried about shakranim, that's why you need witnesses in financial matters. Now, Abaye is going to have three dinim over here. Abaye, the first dinim is as follows. If a single witness has come along and said to somebody, hey, you ate chalev, and that person, the person who supposedly ate the chalev is silent. He doesn't say anything. So then the single witness who said that you ate chalev is believed, so much so that now the one who ate the chalev, based upon the single witness, has to go and bring a carbon chatos. As Tosus tells us over here, Amalu Eidechot Achal Techelev, Allah Shosek Neman, Pirush, the Shesika Keodah. From the fact that he's silent, it means that he agrees to it. Shtika Keodah Domi. Very famous statement. They have no delo, me atzmo. And it's as if he says, you know what? I really do know that I must have eaten that chelev. He's telling the truth. Aval Amalu, if that person would say, Ani Odea, what are you talking about? I don't know. How are you telling me that I know? I don't know. Then the single witness would not be believed. L'chayv carbon, to go bring a carbon. Because the pasuk says, Ohoda a love, which means that he has to know it himself. V'lo shiodi'uhu acher, not that other people should tell him. Now, that specifically refers to, Tosa says, V'davka echad, that's only if one witness. And if he's not certain that that witness is correct, so then he doesn't have to bring a carbon chatas. However, I will shnai him. If two witnesses say, we saw you eat that chalev, and he says, I don't think so. So, nemanim, then the two witnesses are believed. Umevi carbon ayodim, and he has to bring a carbon based upon their testifying. Kidamar hasim, as the Gemara increases, tells us, imhevi yu shnayim lide miso chamura, lo yudenu lide carbon akal. It's a famous Kavu Chomer. If two witnesses can go, even though he's protesting all the way, and two witnesses say, no, you killed him. And he says, no, I didn't. So the two witnesses will get him to be capital crime, and he'll be Chayiv Misa. So if they can bring him to Misa's base, then so certainly they can bring him to go and bring a Karbon Chatos. V'tzorich Nami Lefarish, and here Tosa says an incredibly important point. Tosa says, V'halah Shosek, when this person is silent, the Amalo Ha'ed, Ochal Techelev, when this witness tells him that you ate Chelev, and he could know. And if he really didn't think that this witness was telling the truth, he would say, no way, I don't know that you're right. The fact that he doesn't say anything, that's essentially him admitting that he ate the chalev. Okay, that's the first statement Abaye made. And Abaye says, I have proof to this. We learned in the following braisa, if a single witness says to a person, you ate chaylev, if the person denies and says, no, I did not, so then Pater, then he doesn't bring a charm chatos because he doesn't have independent yediyah. He in fact denies it. So therefore the single witness can't go and make him bring a charm chatos. However, time of Dorah, that's because he said lo achalti. Implication being, ha ishtik, if he just was silent, implying that he agrees with the single witness, then Mehemet, and he would have to go bring a carbon chatos. That's the first statement that Abaye made. Second statement that Abaye made. All these three scenarios are all very similar, and Gemara will end up asking, why do we need all three scenarios? So the first one was with Chalev. The second one is that the person is told by a single witness that your taharos have become tameh. And he doesn't say anything. So now we believe this witness, and his taharos are considered to be tameh. Now, Abaye brings down, there's a braisa in support of this. For Tanatuna, if there's a single witness that comes along and said that your taharos are in fact tameh, he says, no, that's absolutely not true. I was very careful with them, and there's no way that they're tameh, so then pater. So they are considered still tar. Now, the lashon of pater over here means that they're not considered tameh. They're still considered tar. It's a little bit of a strange lashon. there are others that have different girsos over here, but they all basically say the same thing, that his taharos are still considered tar. However, that's because taima the amar lo. That's because he vigorously said lo nitru. They are in fact not tummy. Ha ishtik mehemen. But if in fact he had been silent, so then it's basically kodah dami. It's Tosu said, and therefore he's saying, yeah, mustama, you're right, and therefore mehemen, he's believed. So the same case is with the haros becoming tummy. Abaye says a single witness is believed if he's silent. The third case that Abaye says, we amar Abaye says, amloei dechod, and we turn to samach vav omer aleph. The single witness tells him, Sharcha Nirba, your ox, unfortunately, was part of bestiality. A person committed bestiality with your ox. V'halo shosik, and he doesn't say anything, so then Nemon, so he's believed. Now, what's the nafka mean over here? So, for Asul HaKrova, Rashi says, you can't then bring this ox as a korban. However, you wouldn't do skeel on this ox for being a participant in the act of review of the bestiality. The person would be, through two witnesses, the person would be killed, and the ox would be killed as well. So here, you only have one witness, the Lasoklo Trebunyan. You need two witnesses to go and kill the ox with Skila. But here, we would just say, the ox is also to be brought as a carbon. It's possible to bring such an ox as a carbon. And again, Abaye brings a Braisa to support his statement. V'tanatun, we learn the Braisa. V'shinev de bo aveira, if an ox, Nebuch, was involved in an aveira of bestiality, or v'shehemis, or if the ox killed somebody else, and therefore the ox could be killed as well. So that's if there are two witnesses, you would go give the capital crime. However, al piyed echad, if there's only one witness to say that the ox was involved in bestiality, or that the ox had gored somebody and killed him, oh, al piyed ba'alim, or the man admitted it himself, the owner of the ox admitted it himself, so then Nemon. So we obviously believe the owner, or the single witness, to not allow this animal to be brought as a korban, which is exactly what Abaye said. Now, what are we talking over here? Al piyed echad. Hi, al piyed echad, hechidome. What are we talking about? Either komodu balim, if the balim are also molded to the eid echad, so hi no pi balim. So then that's as if the balim said it, so of course they're believed. Ella, lav de shosik, must it be talking about that the baal was silent? He didn't say anything, and yet we believe the eid echad. Ah, that's the raya to the third case of Abaye. Now the Gemara says, why do we need the three cases? The first case, of course, was the chaylev. The second case was the taharos being tame. And the third case is with the ox shorcha nirba. So why do we need all three cases? So the Gemara says, utzricha. You need all three cases. Because the e ashmi'inan hach kamaisa. We only had the case of the chaylev. You know what it would have said? Ilav the kimlei benafshei, the avat. If, in fact, he wasn't pretty certain himself that he had eaten the chaylev, so chulim bazara lo avimaisi. Possibility over here of bringing chulin be'azara if he wasn't certain, so that's something that should scare him off, that he's bringing chulin to the azara to bring in zekor b'chatas. That's a big, big deal. So it must be that the guy's pretty certain, and now he has a single witness to corroborate. He says, okay, yeah, now I did it. However, avo nitmu tarusecha, the reason why he didn't object to the nitmu tarusecha argument, because he says, big deal. Meimar Aminan, he'll say, hi, the shasik, the reason I was silent was the sover, chazilei bibei tamaso. Big deal. So they're tame. So I'll eat them in the days when I'm tame myself, and I have no problem eating something that's tame. Albeit prushim, try to eat things when they're tar only bitara. So he won't eat it when he's tar. There'll be times when he's tame, and he'll eat the food then. So that's why he didn't speak up. So that's why you have to tell me the second case, that even if he didn't speak up, well, he had a reason why he didn't speak up. So you have to tell us that it's nemon that the taros are tame. If you only had those two cases, the chaylev and the taros tame, v'yishmin ha, I would have said, mishum de komasid le bimei taraso. The reason why is because he's now losing it during the days of his tahara. So he's only able to eat it the days of his tuma. So that's why he would have spoken up. Avo shoro nirba. The fact that his shor is nirba, big deal, he'll say. Meimar, omar, he's going to say, kol ha-shvarim lav l'gabi mizbeach kaimi. Every single ox is going to be a carbon. Big deal, so I won't bring this ox as a carbon. And therefore, that's why he didn't speak up, and that's why you can't maybe learn out that if a single witness comes along, he's believed. No, tzricha, that's why it tells us in this situation as well, the fact that he was shosek, nema, the witness is believed, the single witness is believed to say that this was a shor nirva. Okay, this is a good break point. Again, I want to express the great emotions that everybody here in Chutz La'aretz has for what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. It's been an extremely difficult time for us emotionally. Alach has kama v'kama, how much Klai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is suffering right now, and their pain is our pain. Imo anochi b'tzara. We are with them in their tzaros. We're davening for them. We're learning for them. And b'ezes Hashem b'mheira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring a speedy refuah shlema to all those in need.
speedy pigeon shvuyim for Nebuchadnezzar's people that are captured, and Hashem should bring nechama to Nebuchadnezzar, the families of the korbanos that died al kiddush Hashem, and there should be no more korbanos. Hashem Yirachem.